-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Sigh, yin and yang. Mazel tov, Phillies, Stros, Chiefs. On my side, sorrow. Freddy Spaghetti, sorrow. Steelers lose, Yankees lose, Chargers lose. My Super Bowl pick for the second straight year. Got more on that coming. NFL fans continue to lose. Even the first ballot Hall of Fame QBs stink. Now, the weird thing, as I say yin and yang, Danny Dimes and company can't lose. Patrick Mahomes, roll in. Geno Smith can barely lose. What gives, bizarro world? MLB fans continue to lose. The Astros are now in the World Series. Maybe more hated, I think it's fair to say. And Bob Costas went in on the Astros ownership of the Yankees. I think it's fair to say the Astros are more loathsome than the New York Yankees based on the last 3-4 years. I know you're not going to argue with me there, Eddie Spaghetti, behind the glass. But you know what? I say the Chargers, and I have stood by them. I have been a good fella to them. I've been there for them. We've had some great times. But I have, I think I have to have a talk with them, and I need a friend to help me through that. You know, I'm a loser. It's not like I'm breaking up with people a lot. I don't have a ton of experience with that, thankfully, from Megan Fun of Sports. Megan Connolly is going to join us in just a matter of minutes and help guide me through this difficult emotional time with the Chargers. I don't want to say goodbye, but maybe let's take a break. Anyway, so she's a ray of sunshine. Justin Fields versus Mac Jones is not one. Here's a ray of sunshine for you, sports fans. If your eye extends beyond pro football, Connor McDavid v. Sidney Crosby, a.k.a. McJesus, v. face of the game, Kid Crosby, Monday night in Edmonton. That's a dandy. That's a generational matchup. That's like Mahomes v. Brady, but good, you know? Spaghetti, that's a good game. But what's your weekend takeaway? Where's your emotional state here? Like I say, Jerry Orbach said it at the end of Dirty Dancing. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I have to say now, the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. I was wrong about the Chargers. They're going to be good. I think they're going to be okay. They got to get their pieces back. Obviously, J.C. Jackson looked like another horrific injury for this team that is positively has a pox on its head from the football gods. I don't know why. I don't know what Dan Fouts did, if it was the beard that offended somebody on high long ago, but it ain't working out. So I was wrong. The Chiefs are going to win that. Also, the Steelers. It's hard for me to take Kenny Pickett to task. Two terrible picks at the end of the game in a winnable game down in South Beach against Tua and company. But like I say, Brady and Rodgers can't do it either. So how much am I supposed to beat up this kid who's got about 120 minutes of pro football action? Anyway, I interrupted there. Spaghetti, what was your big takeaway? You know, Yankees pain or enthusiasm about the gents?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a million thoughts, but just to run through them quickly, obviously Yankees is going to be one of the biggest off seasons in recent Yankees history because of Judge, because what do you do now? Running it back with the same guys has not been working, and it's relatively the same. Now, the one good thing about the Yankees is for a very high-end team, and yes, they still are a high-end team. Like, this isn't, these are not problems that other organizations have. Like, they consistently make it to the playoffs. Aaron Boone has made it to the playoffs every year of his career. But their farm system for a very good team is good. So I guess the positive is that they have these guys they could bring in. And I do think the series might have looked a little bit differently if they did have guys like DJ LeMahieu or Andrew Benintendi playing, who are contact hitters who hit near 300, because games one and games two were a two-run and a one-run game. If you had one more timely hit, two more timely hits, it could be a different game. So that's going to be interesting. And my football takeaways, number one, I'm very excited that the Cardinals did win on Thursday Night Football. I get to keep that pick. My Bengals pick, the Super Bowl. Bengals looking mighty good right now. Their offense is looking great. And I'll round up my my football takes with this. You know, a lot of people say the Giants are, you know, we talked about last week, what are your record, you know, are you better or worse than your record? And people think the Giants are kind of phony. I don't understand why people in the NFL think you have to look like the Chiefs to be a good team. Like, there are only one Chiefs. There's only one Andy Reid, only one Patrick Mahomes. Like, not every team has to have the amazing quarterback that throws 5 touchdowns, 400 yards, and you whip teams. Like, there are different ways to be a good team. You could run the ball. You could have a strong defense. You could have a quarterback that makes timely plays. Who's another quarterback that's making plays like Daniel Jones? It's Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Why does Hurts get a pass? It's because he's fresh in the league. We saw him, you know, succeed in college. He comes in the league, pretty good roster. He's throwing
I'll
the ball.
Interrupt you there. I think everything you're saying is right on, except for I think that people have the same doubts about Jalen Hurts that they do about Danny Dimes. Hurts is a little bit better to this point in the season, and
sure,
pedigree, we saw him at Bama and all that, but I think the same doubts exist. But I think the 2022 season, you are spot on, more than in the last half decade, at least. There was only one way to skin the cat. Now, you could really thread the needle and Flacco it like the Ravens did a decade ago. But for the most part, to be relevant, you have to have a top 10 QB. I don't think that's the case so far this season. Anyway, continue.
Well, yeah, but I still have seen more people believe in the Eagles and believe in Jalen Hurts than the Giants, at least maybe not as much now because 6-1's hard to argue with. But back when they were, you know, earlier in the season. But, you know, Daniel Jones has this stink on him from the previous regimes, and people, you know, they saw him fumble and this and that. And Mark Schlereth made a really good point in the broadcast that, like, Eli Manning struggled early on in his Giants career. And Jones now is this cool, calm, collected guy that just, like, he's not going to screw up. Like, he's going to keep the ball on offense. He's not going to turn it over. He's going to make the plays with his legs when he needs to. He's going to make the smart throws. If he has to throw out of bounds, throw out of bounds. And, like, that's something that people have to kind of push out of their brain of the old Daniel Jones with the different coaching staff. This team now is, a you know, slightly better and now with Dable and Shane there. So I just think that you have to trust in Daniel Jones. And he went from being, is he the guy, to probably being the guy. And, you know, this is not a Case Keenum bringing to the team to the playoffs. This is not a Blake Bortles. Like, he is playing very good, effective football. And I think people have to stop, like, thinking in this mold of what makes a good NFL team, because they could, it's different variations of that. So I guess ultimately I'm pretty happy.
I mean, listen, you obviously would want to have Patrick Mahomes as your QB. Sure. If you could wish one thing into being true, you would take that over having Andy Reid as your head coach, as a for instance. I think most people would wish one thing you could make happen. One human being suddenly emerges as being on your team. That would be the choice. But I am with you completely. The results are impossible to deny 7 weeks into the season here. I think the most significant wins we saw were by the way, the Giants surviving that one. That is the difference between being like a fun team that's, ooh, who saw this one coming, and being a team that you actually need to have some respect for. This is the thing that happens every year, Eddie Spaghetti. Every single year, a team comes out of nowhere and everybody harumphs at them like, they're going to have to show me a little bit more about against the Jags. By the way, they almost got royally rooked.
Terrible.
Repeatedly by the Jags by the refs on that last drive. The refs almost handed that game to the Jags, but the Giants survive it. I still think the more significant victory in the division is Dak Prescott putting away the game foe there. I mean, they should have really housed that team, but they do emerge and brighter days, because you don't want that black cloud of, and it's not an insignificant detail, I don't think, that if Dak somehow loses that game, now there are some legit concerns, and I don't care about the media and fans as much as I don't care what, you know, I understand pedigree. Cooper Rush is a pale version. It doesn't compare with the talent of Dak Prescott. But if Dak loses that, somehow the formula isn't working with Dak like it was with Cooper Rush when we were winning games. I think that's the same thing that Denver kind of sort of dodges a bullet. What if Brett Rypien wins that game? Then what do they do with Russell Wilson? It's a real mess there. But on the other hand, if Nate Hackett and company go to London this week and lose that one, now, you know, does Hackett make the flight back? I really do think, and I'm not wishing this on him, I don't wish firings on people, but he might be the shortest term head coach in the Super Bowl era. And that's 55 years worth through. I think I looked it up. It was 9 games in that a guy got fired from the Niners back in, I think, the 70s or whatever. And the other thing I'll weigh in on before we jump to Megan Connolly in the AFC West a little bit and some more baseball talk is the Steelers, to your point, Mike Tomlin, I've been saying this for 3 years, Mike Tomlin agrees with Eddie Spaghetti. That much is clear. They're not trying to win games by seeing how many points they can put up there. They're doing the exact opposite of that. In fact, our guy Jeff Schwartz texted me during the game and he said, what is it that they do? You know, what? How do they stay in the mix? And I said, it really is. They just try to knuckleball it. For the last 3-4 years now, since Roethlisberger's injury, when, you know, the whole Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph year, the whole thing is trying. Now it's going on for a little bit too long. It's maybe a little bit, the cynic might say, hey, this is a little bit like the 76ers process here, but they are trying to fuel the plane while it's in the air. In the meantime, they're trying to knuckleball their way past these high end, these high pedigree teams. And, you know, if you only watch the first 10 minutes of that game, you think the final score is 78-4 for the Dolphins. But you see what the Steelers can do, and you do. It is a tremendous bummer from this Steelers fan's point of view, because now it's going to be a fun, intriguing watch to see where Kenny Pickett goes from here. But if they win that one and they go into the bye at worst 3-5, they're kind of relevant in that division. But I am with you on the Bengals and the Ravens. They are clearly superior teams right now. But I'd be all in on them trying to knuckleball their way into the 7th seed in the AFC playoffs once again, and then looking on to 2023 when the cap is going to really finally be in their favor. They have very few cap issues and big names that they have to re-sign. Brighter days lay ahead, Steelers fans, is my message to you. The one question I have for you, Spaghetti, is Kenny Pickett. How do you see that? I feel like, and it's not just the 8 on the jersey, I feel like there's a lot of Danny Dimes in Kenny Pickett. And I don't know if that diminishes either guy, but can make plays, you know, good athlete, can run away from trouble, but, so far has thrown some picks in bad spots there. I'm not as punched in the gut by it as some Steelers fans are, but where do you sit on Kenny Pickett on the limited evidence we've seen?
I get made fun of by a lot of people I talk football with, because I'm like the most lenient person on quarterbacks, and I guess I've seen enough of Kenny Pickett in college to believe in him and think he's a good player. I did like him a lot coming in this draft, and I think that, number one, the Steelers offensive line needs a lot of improvement. This kind of reminds me of the Giants too a few years back, where you have a kind of a mediocre to below average offensive line, and you know, the Giants, when they were missing Saquon, you know, through his various injuries, they weren't really having a strong ground game. And that makes life harder, a lot harder on the quarterback. And I think right now Najee Harris is not playing well. I think actually our pal Neil Coulon, who comes on the show a lot, was, or might have been Josh Yowie, one of them made really good points. Like, I understand he's a first round pick, but he does not look like a first round pick. And it's kind of shocking, because I thought Najee was going to be a stud for many, many years. And it seems like Kenny Pickett has to do a lot by himself. And, you know, I don't think the Dolphins are a bad team. I think the Steelers schedule through this stretch is very brutal. So obviously he's going to look kind of exposed. Like, he's a rookie quarterback. He's getting taught by Mitch Trubisky, and not to, you know, make fun of Mitch, but like, how much are you learning from a guy like that? A guy who has bounced around to multiple teams, who was kind of a bust in his own right. So I just feel like, besides having Mike Tomlin, who's one of the best coaches in this generation, like, what does Kenny Pickett really have going for him on this squad? It's just like, it's a tough schedule, no ground game, rookie. Like, it's just, so I think to judge him based on these games is absurd.
Well, I think he's, you know, the thing that you see him doing in certain stretches is he's just trying to put the ball on his playmakers and let them carry the day. You saw George Pickens with another highlight reel.
Great catch.
Yeah. You just need more of those situations. But, you know, Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, frustrating though he is, those are playmakers that they have around them. And Freiermuth is steady as it gets. It's just a bummer, though, in the sense that when you look where they are in the schedule, they're likely to be now 2-6. They go to Philly next week, so they go into the bye at 2-6. Hard to conjure, no matter how optimistic you are, that they're going to reel off so many wins that they're going to be a playoff contender by Christmas time. But so that is a big letdown in terms of where the season is. But I am not getting histrionic like many people in Pittsburgh are, like saying, dude, Kenny Pickett's a bust, dude. He throws too many picks and that's that. Can't do nothing about it. All right, let's move on, though, to the team that resides in my heart, but the one in my brain, the one that I thought was going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think I have to make a big move here, Eddie Spaghetti. Let's bring in our pal, Megan Connolly. But first, a quick break. Hey, listen up, sports fan. This message is for you. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, mazel tov. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or our nation's capital. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. As you can tell, we need a pick-me-up, and I can't think of one better in the Rolodex, the figurative one, because she is positively a ray of sunshine. You watch her on SmackDown on Friday night. You listen to her with Megan Gailey on the Extra Points Network on the great Megan Fun of Sports. Here she is, everybody. Our pal, Megan Connolly, looking good, ready for some fun. You know, I guess this is an audio podcast, so I should mention you're wearing a New England Patriots helmet. Thank you for that. I don't know why.
It's Monday Night Football. I'm ready to go in full game mode, helmet and all. It is a little bit of an oxymoron because I'm wearing a Northwestern Wildcats t-shirt, which is unfortunate, and then a Patriots helmet. So, you know, we have balance in our life. We have the good, we have the not so good.
Yeah, that's right. A little yin and yang. That's kind of the theme of the show. Obviously, half of sports America is happy on this day. I just don't happen to be one of those people there. I mean, I'm not sure exactly that I have any answers for how the talking heads are supposed to address in-game the concussion stuff. But for whatever reason, it makes me feel uneasy when they go serious voice like, we got a good one down here in Miami. It's Tua. It's Pickett. But Tua's been through some real life challenges.
I was watching that whole thing, and I know this is like sick and disgusting. And if I get canceled for saying this, get a sense of humor, people. But I do think it would have been kind of funny, just as a joke, like as a complete joke, if Tua like walked out with like Stevie Wonder sunglasses and like a walker and then like a spit cup and then like ripped it all off and was like, I'm playing, everybody. I know it would have been like terrible because, you know, concussions are serious, but it would have been a little bit funny, don't you think?
Happy Halloween from the Dolphins, right? Hey, listen, I've said it for 15, 20 years now, and I say it again. Ever since, you know, all this talk about got to protect the players and head safety and everything else. And then they let that dolphin take his helmet off of the logo. And now that dolphin on the side of their hat doesn't even wear one, except in the throwback helmet. He does wear it. But he's then that dolphin plays for a team that has an M on the side of their helmets, not for the Miami Dolphins, but it's hard to find dolphins. That's Eddie Spaghetti's favorite recurring bit that I do, and I bring up about 17 times annually.
They did have it. The helmet dolphin was in the center at the 50-yard line last night, right?
Yeah, they had it, and that was good. But I'm saying the modern-day version is the one he lost the helmet, so now he's out there playing football, presumably. Unprotected, and no one seems to care, except everybody will flap their gums about the import of, you know, head trauma safety and everything else. But I like your idea. That is a fun idea. What are you going to be for Halloween?
Well, I was either thinking of being a concussed Tua, or I was going to go around to a Halloween party and compliment people's costumes who suck for like 7 minutes and be Bill Belichick. Because if you've been paying attention to this pregame, Bears against Patriots, which is tonight, Monday Night Football, we all know the Bears suck, but what did Bill Belichick do on Wednesday at his press conference? He addressed the media with a 7-minute opening statement raving about this Chicago Bears team. So I think the Bears are doomed, but I also think that's a great costume. Just go around and tell everybody who looks like that they look awesome for 7 minutes.
I do love it. And but the real question is, I mean, Lou Holtz used to do that all the time at the height of his Notre Dame powers. He would compliment the hell out of some garbage team that they were about to destroy. I wonder for whose benefit, you know, who hears that and plays differently or approaches the game differently when Bill Belichick does that? Do you think the Bears are like, oh, he's afraid of us, let's play differently than we otherwise were going to? I mean, what to what end with this in your media hat, not your football helmet hat? Put on your media hat and assess what difference this makes.
So this is a total strategy by Bill, right? Like, he doesn't want to address questions about the Bears because he knows by doing so he'll accidentally bury the Bears. And he doesn't want to bury the Bears because that gives him locker room material. So when he steps up to the podium, he knows, all right, this press conference is going to be about, what, 20, 25, like maybe I would say 22 and a half minutes would be like your over underline. And he's like, I'm going to spend 7 minutes stalling to avoid some of these questions, which is why like Bill will always take a softball about special teams and go on for 5 minutes because he knows that he's distracting from other areas of the press conference.
So he thinks people just tire out, like the media people will just be like, ah, listen, I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. Let's just get out of here. That's kind
of, and I also think like the PR guy, you know, like he goes in there sort of. I mean, I don't know this for certain, but I always thought the way it worked, it was just like, all right, we got the stopwatch going, Bill, like go up there for however long. And then I'll say last question right around the 20-minute mark. So he spent seven of them. Yeah.
It's an ongoing passion of mine is fixing up Olympic events and then creating new ones. That would be a good one right there. You know, that could be maybe.
Yeah.
With Peyton's new charge as head of whatever replaces Pro Bowl weekend now, maybe that could be one. What head coach can vamp the longest and say zero along the way? I love that.
Yeah, I think Bill has become a total pro at that. Brady also is a pro at vamping for a long time, saying nothing. Jeter was really good at it for Eddie's Yankees. A lot of these guys, they say nothing. But I do want to bet on like the over-under smiles that Belichick has in a press conference, because he's been a little smiley lately, which is concerning to me.
Was he pleasant towards you?
Oh, he's the best.
You have any horror stories? Yeah. He was very nice to you.
Yeah, I mean, I got a Christmas card, like Bill and I, you know, one time we talked Northwestern women's lacrosse for like a solid 10 minutes. It was, yeah, Bill's great.
Wow. So yeah. If you're walking down the street and Bill Belichick's coming in your direction, would he be like, hey, Megan, what's new? Or like, would he be like, oh, we met before, or I got to get on to Cincinnati. I can't stop to talk to you. I know you're vaguely familiar.
So is this a, like, are we at a football game or are we just out in the wild?
No, you're just out at the mall.
Out in the wild, 1,000%. Now, like, on a game day, he sees me, no way. Locked in. Ready to go.
Okay. So, like, he's, you know, he's heading into Old Navy
And, you know, he's looking for some shorts that can he can or some pants that he can zip off when it gets warm out and turn into shorts. But he sees Megan come and he's like, whoa, I can't believe it. Let's get some Wetzel's pretzels and catch up. That doesn't happen.
No, that would happen. But if saw each other on a game day, that would not happen. Like if I saw him tonight in the tunnel as he's preparing for this stout Bears defense, he's not going to stand and talk to me. But now if we saw each other like Tuesday night at a restaurant, of course.
Speaking of restaurant, would you rather go for a long dinner, let's say a 3-hour dinner, marathon dinner, with Belichick or Brady?
Belichick.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Well, one, Brady's not going to eat anything because he's a psycho. Mm-hmm. And also, this is really great, and we're going to get into more breakups later, but like I broke up with Brady a long time ago, and now I love it because the world is coming to my side, and they're seeing how annoying this guy is. Did you see what he said about the troops last week? Like, Brady, I mean, he's a big anti-troops guy, so I love that everybody is joining my side and laying on the Brady hate. But no, a dinner with Brady would not be fun at all. I don't think he's interesting whatsoever as a human being. Like, Belichick, we could talk war stories, we could talk history, we could talk Northwestern women's lacrosse. Like, outside of football and eating healthy and going to bed at 8 o'clock, Tom Brady has nothing interesting to talk about.
Interesting and hard to push back on your indictment of him. He probably has been so devoted for the last two decades to pro football and X's and O's. Really, yeah, what does he know about? What movie do you suppose he could have a conversation on? Have you ever, you crossed paths with 12 enough that you would know, never in passing, he's like, yeah, you know, I think 30 Rock didn't really get its due. You know, I thought the writing was exceptional on that show. Nothing like that?
Nothing like that. My one solo interaction with 12 was I was post run before the AFC Championship game in Kansas City in the elevator, and he asked me for a very detailed weather report because like that's just how his brain functions. He's football all the time and taking care of his body. That's really all he does.
Well, you mentioned the breakups, and obviously you're expert at doing it. I want to talk about that in a second, but you just touched on something that, you know, you don't need my two cents. But I'm going to offer it anyway. How about you break up with this marathon jive? I get it. You want to do it once, see if you can. I mean, I don't even get that. 26.2, this arbitrary number based around, well, it's not arbitrary because it's the distance between what? Athens and Marathon, Greece.
Yep.
From ancient times. So somebody decided, hey, let's have a race like that. So, okay, I guess that's a cute touchstone to go off the 26.2. But in modern day USA, so, okay, you want to measure yourself, push yourself. But you're not racing anyone other than Megan, I assume, right? But once you do it, what's the point of doing it again? Now you're gilding the lily.
Well, I do. I enjoy running. I very much like running. And I need, like, a purpose to keep on running. Otherwise, there's going to be. And I know I could do 5Ks, right? But here's the problem. I did 5Ks and 10Ks in college, and I'm never going to be that fast again. So every time I run a 5K and 10K, while it's, like, in air quotes, good for, like, you know, the local competition, and I'll win against everybody in my age group. But for me, I'm like, that's almost 3 minutes slower than I ran in college. So for me, the 5K is like, oh, it's just such a mental defeat every time I do it because I'm never going to be what I once was. But the marathon is like a different challenge, and it's also quite enjoyable until you're almost done, and then it's no longer enjoyable. Whereas a 5K...
Because to me, that's the thing. I'll get on a treadmill. I've gone out and run a few miles out on the streets. I don't care for that as much because I can tricks Dave a lot, you know, and Dave running on his own can trick Dave into thinking like, Dave, you're running way too fast for a long distance run here. You better slow it down a little bit. I'm like, okay, Dave, you're the boss. And then then Dave doesn't get the workout that Dave really needs. So a treadmill can't lie. A treadmill's going as fast as it's going. And even if it feels like, boy, I feel like I'm going too fast today, the treadmill tells me you're going the same speed you're usually going, Dave. You understand? But the madness that is induced by long distance running is hard for me. I don't know what people do for the 3 hours that they're out there running out on the streets and everything, because all I do is spin fractions and percentages in my head. Like, okay, 30, what are you, about 38% done? Another minute, and then you're going to be 40% done, and then you're going to be right around the corner, halfway done. That's all I do the entire time I'm running. And it's like Tom Brady with football. Like, I there are no external thoughts. It's not like people like, I play golf because it takes me away from the day's problems. Yeah, but then you're in that problem of like, oh my God, I can't believe it's taking me 3 swings to get out of the sand trap. Same thing running on the streets. I'm like, I'm not taken away from anything. I'm just in a new form of madness, which is, how much longer do I have till I can stop doing this crap?
Yes, I get that. Honestly, yesterday I ran a 5-mile race and I hated it way more than I hated the marathon. Like, I loved the Chicago Marathon. The Chicago Marathon was great. The streets were lined with fans. It also makes you feel like what I've struggled with since I run since I was 8 competitively, and then I ran in college. Like, I struggle with the fact that I'm not an athlete anymore. Like, I've played sports my whole life. I want to like get out there and be competitive. And so for these races, they kind of like bring that back for me a little bit. So I just, this is just me struggling to break up with my identity as an athlete.
Well, I'll say this and we'll wrap it up with that. With the actual competitive side of things. I've long said Extra Points Network needs to have its own decathlon. And I think that a long odds would maybe pay out on one Megan Connolly. How say you, Eddie Spaghetti? She, you know, she's got age on her side. She's got actual college athletic deeds on her side. She might be Damashek at minimum, right? Golf, running, definitely.
That's a good question. I mean, I think the only ones who would really compete in anything, it's me, Megan, and probably Meatball. I mean, most definitely Meatball. So those are the three real contenders. I mean, Megan is an athlete. And you're right. She does have the age. I think depending on the events, those are the three people that I would pick.
Depending on the events, because if it's who can throw a ball the furthest, I beat the both of yous right
there. There's no way you do. I can throw like 60 yards on my knees.
No, you can't.
I've done it before. I've done it in high school. I've done it on the goal line with one knee down, and I've thrown it past midfield. I've done it before. I can do it again.
You can throw. So you heard this, Megan.
Dave, I played high school football, unlike you.
Well, he went to a smart school.
Let me play. You don't know what I would have done if she would have allowed it. That's an alternate universe that we'll never know the answer to. I'm interested in you throwing a ball 60 yards from your knees. That's crazy if you can actually do that.
I have a very
I think you've lifted too many weights. I think your body, you're a prisoner of your muscles now. I don't think you have full range anymore.
I could most definitely throw the ball very far.
Okay. All right, we'll get to that at a later date. We got to get to some serious business now, Megan. I mean, you know, Eddie Spaghetti, he didn't break up with the Yankees. The Astros inserted themselves into that relationship and said no more for 6 more months, Eddie Spaghetti. And by the way, when you come back, your best ball player, 99, may not be here anymore. But I'm a man of the highest honor. And when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I already have said it, and I'm going to say it again. I was wrong about the AFC West this year. And I noticed, I misery loves company or otherwise. You know, I shot the flare up on Sunday afternoon watching the Chargers get housed again at home by a team that I thought was a lesser foe that they should have mopped up pretty good. But Geno had other ideas. The Seahawks, I don't know if they're jive long term, but the Chargers are fine, but they are not going to overcome the Chiefs to win the AFC West. And it seems like you're ready to move on from them. Now, I've been with these Chargers, though, the uniforms, playing contrarian. The Chiefs were, you know, everybody's front running favorite. I like the Chargers. I saw them on the rise. But what's done is done. I think it's best for all parties that we just part ways and move on. But how to do it? I'm not a breakup master. I imagine you've had to turn down more, you've had to play the protagonist in breakups more than I have over the course of our respective lives. Is that fair?
I mean, sure, I guess. I don't know your past, your breakup history, but we could go with that. I think my biggest breakup was breaking up with Tom Brady. And then that is significant. That's really significant.
He's the only guy you've ever dumped?
No, but I mean, that's just like a massive figure in your life. And so lovable, right? We went through so much, the six mm-hmm. Super Bowls and these high highs, and just to see someone change, and you don't grow together, you grow apart. It was tough to get over, and I think I definitely exhibited all stages of a breakup when I moved on from Tom Brady and decided that he was no longer... Well, I didn't decide. He decided that he was no longer mine.
What year was this? When is did it coincide with him saying, like, were you basically saying, I'm not interested in a long-term relationship if you're moving down to Florida? I don't want to get into that back and forth of the phone calls and the strained conversation with each passing day gets more and more difficult to sustain that kind of like, and what did you do today? And then like every couple few weeks you see each other, you fly in and fly, never satisfying enough. Was it that?
Well, it all started, I'll never forget the day, we were at joint practices with the Detroit Lions during the preseason, and Brady had just agreed to a new contract, and everyone was excited about the contract because on the face value, it said it was a two-year deal, but if you looked at the fine print, that last year was a void year. So it's really a one-year deal, no option for the franchise tag, and as soon as that contract came out, I said, he's gone. He is gone. And when he met the media that day, he was a little hostile, just a little bit hostile. And throughout that season, he was so whiny. And from then on, I knew it was time. It was time for Brady and I to break up.
You felt like he had a figurative burner team or something like that. You couldn't put your finger on exactly what was going down with this guy, but something different was going on with 12. Okay, so to the here and now, how do we do this? I mean, like, let's just talk face to face before we let the Chargers know.
Yeah, we have to plan this breakup because everybody knows when you're breaking up with someone, you got to talk to your friends first. And you're like,
I think they're like, and listen, the Chargers have an ego. They're in SoCal. Yes. You know, they have beautiful uniforms. They're probably not used to this sort of thing.
Best house in the NFL, the most beautiful stadium. They got all the glitz and glam. They got the young quarterback. They spent a lot of money in free agency. They have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. I know Joey Bosa's out, but like, they have a lot going for them on paper.
They do, and they're very pretty, and I think they're going to, listen, I want to say here and now, right, I think that's an important point to make to the Chargers. You're going to be okay, and I do want to stay friends with you. Please, I know people say that in situations like this, but I'm your neighbor. Anything you need, just give me a call. I am going to be there for you. I just don't feel the same way that I did a few months ago, really for the last couple of years. I'm sorry.
This was my Super Bowl pick. Like, I thought the Chargers could make it to the Super Bowl. And obviously, I was wrong. And in our extra points pick 'em, like, you know, every week we pick against the spread, I've been riding with the Chargers. And yesterday was the eye-opener for me that, like, this relationship has run its course. And I think the way we approach this with the Chargers is we have to say, because I'm not done with them like forever. I do think they have a bright future down the road. But what I think is the more accurate description of what's going on is the timing's not right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe, you know, who knows what life holds? You know, that life is short, they say, but it also is long. And maybe there's room for maybe you to break away. And like they say, you let someone go, you know, whatever they say, then you come back.
If you love someone, let them go. If they come back, it was meant to be.
Okay. So that's...
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what you're going to do with Herbert Staley and company here.
Yeah, I think we do have to at some point, once we get through, you know, talking this through and how we're going to approach this, at some point we have to be direct with the Chargers and say those four words. We need to talk.
Okay.
We need to talk. That's how we start it with the Chargers. We need to talk.
And I, you know, for my side of things, I'm right there with you because I feel like, you know, I'm needed at home. The Steelers right now, you know, this has been great. Been a lot of fun, Chargers, believe me. But at some point, you gotta go home. and the Pittsburgh Steelers are not in a good spot right now, and what kind of heel would I be to turn my back on them? So it really is not you in this case, Chargers. Appreciate you. See you down the road. Is that, you know, is that?
Yeah, I do think it's not you. Well, it is kind of them, though, you know? Yeah.
Well,
because
yeah,
if
I'm
they
trying
were
to be
doing...
nice, though.
Yeah, and see, the to your point, I'm needed at home. Eddie knows this through Megan Fun of Sports, but I am not a fan of this particular Patriots team. In fact, in our extra points pick 'em, I've picked against the Patriots every week except this week, because last week I had the epiphany. I said, okay, Megan, they're not sexy. They're not cool. You got Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson's been running the ball really well, but nothing about them is sexy or exciting. I don't look forward to watching any player on this team, but what else am I going to do? Root for this Chargers team? I can't. Like you, I am needed at home as well.
Just you're going to be a free agent, in other words. See, like, I'm going back to Stella. I'm sorry what happened, Blanche. I'm a passionate fan, but you know what? Stellars! Right?
Yeah.
I didn't plan that, but that... I didn't realize until just this moment that I named one of my children after... named her with the name that is closest to my favorite football team. Freudian, or whatever you would call that. Stellars! Especially with the Pittsburgh accent, it really works. Okay, so go ahead, Megan. I, you know what? You're more expert at this. Do you mind blowing in the call? You can mention me or not. Like, you know, just.
Well, I do want to point out something. I think it's going to be a little hard for us as the season progresses, because we are breaking up with them today. What is today? Today is October 24th. This is the day that we are ending our relationship with the Chargers. However, things could get difficult because it looks like Joey Bosa is going to return at some point throughout this season. Mm-hmm. So one of the keys to breaking up with someone is you have to be stern, because you can't go back right away. I mean, obviously, like, if life leads you there 2 years from now, then I say, okay. But once you break up with them, we can't do this 2 a.m. you up text type of thing. And I think when Bosa returns, we might be tempted to do that kind of thing with this Chargers team.
Okay. Okay. I understand what you're saying. But, like, what if the Chargers, just to let's just role play. I'm the Chargers here. What are you into the Chiefs now? Like, what have you been talking to the Chiefs? Is that what this is about? Are you into them now? Are they more handsome or something, more exciting than I am?
And you just have to say, hey, facts are facts. Patrick Mahomes can do it with anybody. And did you see Mecole Hardman yesterday? I mean, he was a guy that we weren't. And now I sound like Collins, where here's a guy. But but I did for a second. But yeah, I mean, we are into the Chiefs, and we have to let them know that this is a business decision as well. And I'm just trying to protect myself. And I think you will flourish without me. You're going to be fine. As we mentioned before, you have a lot going for you, Chargers. It's just right now it's me.
Okay. So yeah. And we only get one life too. And you know, if we're going to front run, then this is a good one to attach ourselves to. We want to live the high life a little bit too.
I do think this is a good time for a lot of LA people, though, to jump on the Chargers, because things aren't looking so great with the Rams. So, you know, get a team while they're low. Yeah.
You know?
So for the LA people.
Yeah, it's a tough time. Last couple things for you. What lesson could pro football learn from pro wrestling?
Wow. I think the in-game experience, like going to see, and Eddie can vouch for this too, and Dave, I'm sure you've been to a wrestling event, right? You've been to a show.
I went to see WrestleMania 3 at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh with 17,000 other people on closed caption. It was before the days when the giant jumbo screen hanging over was in every arena and stadium, but they brought in four big screens facing out in all four directions. And me and my friend Josh went and watched WrestleMania 3. One of the greatest, I mean, I don't know, I haven't kept up as well, sorry to say, but one of the great nights in professional wrestling history. Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky the Steamboat, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Mm-hmm. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, yeah. That was the penultimate bout that night, Hulkster and Andre the Giant were the main event, but that was one of the great fights you'll ever see in your life.
Well, I think with wrestling, what's so great about it, and I tell my friends this all the time, like when we go to their city, I'm like, do you want to come to the show? And they're like, I'm not really into it. I'm like, I swear, if you go, you can't go and not have a good time. So if the NFL could take one thing away from wrestling, I have like a list of things that they could take away. But the one thing would be the fan experience, because wrestling does it better than anybody else. Those shows are awesome. And just the way that everybody becomes an 8-year-old kid again and is chanting and yelling and really involved in the action, the pyro, the theatrics of it all. If the NFL could add that in some way, I think, because what we have at home watching Red Zone and watching all of these games on TV, the home experience is sort of better than actually going to the game. So the NFL has a problem there. And if they could learn from wrestling, I think that would be a great start.
The one I always say is, and I'll say it now here, is they hate each other. There's no public showing of the two guys fighting in the squared circle liking each other at all. And that's great. This thing, this move from pro football circles that, like, we're all friends and we're all at the end of the day one big brotherhood, we're all one big family, sucks from the fan perspective.
Ugh, it's we
hate each other. I hate 31 fan bases. What are you two do? What are you two guys playing grab on the field after the game and trading your jerseys? When Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik got arrested for burning a joint in a car, they had the dignity and the honor to do it out of sight of the paying fans. You understand what I mean? Do it in the bowels of the stadium.
Yeah, I think there's too much respect in sports right now.
Right.
Everybody is too nice to each other. You have to remember, these are your competitors. Like, you're either a bad guy or you're a good guy. And either way, you hate your opponent. I want to see more of that.
Yes.
Amen. Forget sportsmanship. Let's see more hate.
Amen.
Is this what you teach your kids when they're playing like rec league sports? Because I would have a big problem. I'd be like, you hate them. My kids like
run. No, well, your kids are just going to run all the time. They're going to be running all over the place, aren't they? By the way, not fun fact, in middle school, I was on the cross country team. It was like a 2-mile run or 1.9 mile run. Every single day, as soon as the coach would run out of sight, Dave started walking. I'm not gonna run. What am I running for? I can walk there. I'll see you guys at the finish line. I'll be about 20 minutes behind the rest of you. In the spirit of, if you want to be contentious, that's your right. If you want to make peace here, you can. Not peace, but be the salve on his emotional wounds. Or if you want to save it for the Megans later this week. Do you have anything you want to say to Eddie Spaghetti as he goes through this difficult time saying goodbye to his pinstripes for another baseball season?
It's hard for me to feel bad for Eddie right now because the Giants are probably one of the worst 6-1 teams ever. I don't think they're very good, but they keep winning games. So how can I pick against them? Like, they figure out a way to win. And also, like we just said with the Chargers, better days are ahead for this Giants team. And the fact that they're winning with this team, I think Eddie's got nothing to do but smile. Notre Dame had a win this weekend, right? I mean, you can't go 3-for-3 every weekend. So I think
rags to look forward to. He's got a full plate. You're right about that. Okay, then does Eddie Spaghetti challenge for the honor of the title? My guess is it's going to be Harry. Favorite extra points coworker.
Oh, I do. I get a kick out of Harry. Like every time I listen to Against All Odds, I laugh out loud at Harry. And they were doing this weird thing last week where every time he gave one of his picks, and they didn't acknowledge it, but every time he gave one of his picks, nobody said anything. It was just Harry would go on for like 2 minutes with all of his stats and everything. And then he was done and no one had any comment to say. And I thought it was hilarious. And just the rivalry between Parlay Kid and Harry a little bit, it cracks me up. I think they are a riot. My favorite extra points coworker. I'm going to go with Megan Gailey. I know that's okay. Like the cop-out okay. answer, but really she's the best. Eddie wants us one to turn heel, one to be babyface, so that the podcast could be a little bit more entertaining. But I love Megan. She's great. It's funny because we've only like met in real life twice, but sometimes things will happen. I'm like, oh, I got to text Megan. She's like become one of my really good friends, which is really cool.
That's nice. And then, you know, in the yin and yang, as we started out, let's close it out that way. Who's your least favorite extra points coworker?
Definitely Mikey Meatballs. I'm just kidding. No, I love all of you guys. I love all of you guys. I don't have a least favorite. That's such a weird question to ask.
It is.
No, Mikey Meatballs is so patient with me. God, I always forget to do stuff. I'm like, is it too late? No, I don't have a least favorite. Don't have one.
That's lame. That's a lame way to go out. After
who's
you get,
your least favorite?
Well, I mean, there are so many candidates that would be a half hour conversation. We don't have time for it here, but I'd be happy to share that with you at a later date. Also, put a pin in this. I really want to have a conversation, but I think it's like a round table kind of thing. I've tried to get to the bottom of this with several people. I mentioned already. I have two daughters, and yep. I am steeped in all animated movies. I can converse about, the Disney stuff and I have Cars, whatever you want to talk about, Incredibles, mm-hmm. deep dive on all. But I'm interested in the psychology of young women, girls watching the Disney princesses and how that impacts their brains in the 21st century, because Disney definitely is aware of it. When they created Merida from Brave, clearly this was a newer, stronger version. Moana, a stronger woman figure. But is it problematic that Cinderella and Ariel are still out and about there and people are consuming that, young girls among them? And how does this impact your brain as you launch yourself into the real world? But we don't have time to talk about that now. I'm just setting up the conversation.
Okay, we can get to it though. I'm gonna start thinking about it. And I think Elsa, you know, that's like a different type of princess too, but more traditional. So I'll start thinking of this. I live right down the road from Mickey Land, so maybe I'll take a little trip and do some observing, you know, take some notes, get out in the wild, see how all these kids interact. You know, I do have the pleasure of every Saturday morning flying home from random city back to Orlando with a plane full of screaming children excited to see Mickey. So maybe I could take some notes during that time as well.
Wow, that has got to be a trip. That's like Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday morning, Vegas. Never gets old, you know? And every Saturday morning, I'm still tired. And they don't care. They don't care if you're tired. They're going to see Mickey.
Our guy, Coley, is a father of two little girls. I think I know he's spending a fair amount of his time watching animated movies himself. Maybe we should do a round table about this whole thing. And then Megan Gailey has a little boy, and then how she's going to launch him. We'll figure this out. We'll put a pin in it for now. Great stuff, Megan Connelly.
Wait, real quick, tonight, the Patriots, I like the Patriots tonight. I like them to cover. Mac Jones is coming back. I think this could be a turning point for the Patriots. We're going to find out if they're really happy with Zappy or if we're all in on Mac Jones. I like the Ramondre Stevenson over on his rushing yards. So there we go.
Okay, glad you got that in. And so you're on board, but you've shown yourself to be emotionally flexible enough that if Mac Jones doesn't win, you're happy to jump over to Zappy. You don't have any issue with that, right?
I just really don't like this team. All the Patriots fans who are like, they might be okay. I'm like, you guys, this is such an average team. But hey, whatever. They're going to win tonight against the Bears.
Yeah, see, now I see what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the come down of reality. You got used to living in a certain climate of success. You can imagine young Dave Damashek, adolescent. All I knew as I emerged into the 80s was like, well, my teams win most of the time, right? Pirates, mm-hmm. Steelers, okay, the Penguins stink. And then the 80s hit me like a cold slap across the face. Mark Malone, you know, take that, Damashek. Your teams are mediocre at best. It was a hard come up. Anyway, Megan Connolly, great stuff. We'll watch you every Friday night on SmackDown. And, of course, we'll listen to you every week, you and your best pal, Megan Gailey, on the tremendous, and I mean it when I say it, Megan Fun of Sports, really funny and good stuff there. And, you know, you're in the mix for my favorite and least favorite extra points coworker for now.
I just took the helmet off. That felt good. Thank you. I love that I'm in the mix for both because
honestly, we'll see how it goes. These are a critical few weeks upcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. You know, Dave, I feel like we could talk all day. So I'll just leave it at I hope Yins have a good show.
Dave, we're gonna go into Dubai and we're gonna be born anew. We're gonna come out with TJ Watt and Kenny Pickett and we're gonna take over the NFL once again.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
There you go, Spaghetti. Good news for you. You're not her least favorite. That's nice.
Megan's awesome. I mean, Megan's she's besides being funny and a great hang, she knows her stuff. She's getting into the gambling now. It's a pleasure working with her, and that show is a lot of fun. So, yes.
Who do you like better, her or Gailey?
I like them both equally because I've hung out with them both equally.
No way.
I'm not.
You like them equally. What are the odds of that? You like two human beings the exact same. There's no.
I feel like
if you had to choose, you wouldn't choose one or the other, huh?
I feel like I like a lot of humans equally. Everyone's kind of, most people are on the same level. I have like my ultra close best friends I've known for 20 years. And I have people who are very, very close to me. They're all on that same level, but they're on like that coworker, but also could be friends level. So it's, you know, I don't know.
Who do you like better, Josh Donaldson or Aaron Judge?
I mean, I like Aaron Judge better, despite his playoffs here. I don't think it's going to be his last game played as a Yankee, but Donaldson, I hope it is. For a guy that's making almost as much money as like Bryce Harper is insane. And, you know, I'm a Cashman defender and you didn't even ask me any of these questions, but I'm just going to go off on a tangent. But Cashman, like, he makes some great moves and then moves like that, bringing a mid-30s year old Josh Donaldson to just strike out in the playoffs is ultra frustrating and it's really as bad as it gets.
Well, I know one Michael Fabiano agrees with you on that. He's been tweeting about it. And also you can go back and listen to Fabiano alongside R. Jen Piacenti from Eddie Spaghetti's show, Waiver Wired. You can listen to that every Tuesday and Mr. Lister every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's our list-based sports trivia show. I believe we have one Cousin Sal coming up on that one, so be on the lookout for that on Tuesday night. And then on Thursday, Kevin Hench will make his weekly appearance here. On -3, we'll be ready to break it all down for you. Until then, for Eddie Spaghetti, Megan Connolly, and everybody at the Extra Points Network, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.